Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, right now as we gather round your word and as we journey towards breaking bread together, come and meet us. Come and speak into our soul and the soul of our church. Shape us with the shape that you have given us. Bring us into alignment. I pray, Lord, it'd be like with these next few weeks and months as we come into the scripture about our values, it'd be like a trip to the chiropractor where everything just clicks into place and health is found. So come and touch our eyes and ears that we would see and hear what it is that you have to say to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to unpack our values together, it kind of makes sense that we begin with that which we describe as our priority. Our value is this: presence is our priority. We are a church gathering together to host his glory. The presence of God is our everything. Now, last Sunday when we spoke about values, we defined them as ethos. They are the characteristic spirit or attitudes of a community. We said that values shape behavior. They are found manifest within behavior. They are therefore intrinsic and not aspirational. They are the DNA of a group of people. So when we say that a core value of Glasgow Elam is that presence is our priority, what we're saying is that intrinsic to Glasgow Elam, at the very core of our DNA and manifest within our behavior, is a passion and pursuit of the presence of God. And we recognize that not as something that we aspire to become, but that which is already a characteristic of the spirit and the attitude of our church. So when we begin to teach on this, we're not seeking to call out what it is that needs to be or that we are working towards. It's almost like we're just recognizing the shape of who we are, this ethos that God has given to us, and we begin to explore this in order to align with it fully and to understand our identity more deeply. It makes sense that as we begin to explore this, that we turn to a community of people in Scripture for whom this same value is seen in their characteristic spirit and attitude. The passage that we're going to explore over this next few weeks as our guide is Exodus 33 and verse 12 to 14. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me there, please? Exodus 33, verse 12 to 14. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This is a really powerful prayer from Moses. It's actually one that I have saved as a wallpaper on my phone, because it's a prayer that I've been praying personally for some time now. And it's a prayer that I'd like to encourage all of us over these next weeks and months as we're exploring this to begin to pray this daily. That's why we've stuck it on these wee bookmarks that are on your table, and we'll send out the wallpaper image that you can stick on your phone if you choose to. And Moses here prays a really big and significant prayer. And in response, he receives a really big and significant promise. God promises his presence. Now, when you dip into a passage like this and you read a request being made and the promise of abiding presence being given, you see that this is a really profound interaction that is taking place. And there's loads of questions that begin to pop up in our minds, like, what happened that led to this moment? Or what was the journey up to this moment? Or what happened after such an interaction? And all of these things are things that we're going to begin to unpack and explore together over these next few weeks. But in order to steer into this fully, context is really important. So we do our homework and we slip back a few verses to understand what's going on. Slip back with me to verse 7. It says, "Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance where the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The pretext to our passage is really quite interesting, because what we read here is a moment that is actually quite special in the book of Exodus. Because what we're reading here is not the normal narrative of Moses. It's not the normal narrative of Moses entering into the presence of God, although that is a feature here. But what we're reading is a community of people from different tribes, a nation of people, beginning to interact with the presence of God. And as we look on this, we recognize from their behavior that there is this shared characteristic and attitude of the presence of God being their priority. This is seen in the way that the presence of God shapes their behavior, shapes the actions of the people. From reading these verses, though, there is something, as we lock in on them and we begin to look at them, there is something quite surprising that comes out of this. And that is that what we read is that there's actually a bit of a system in place when it came to the presence of God. Now, this is surprising for us crazy and carefree Pentecostals, but it's actually there in black and white. There is a system present, a routine. In fact, you could almost say a ritual. And this ritual revolved around the presence of God. Now, this is hard to read and hear because our culture and our approach to spirituality almost views the phrases ritual and presence of God as oxymorons, a contradiction in terms. But we can't deny it. It is right there in this passage. There is a very clear pattern regarding his presence. We modern, trendy Pentecostals, we tend to kick against anything that carries a whiff of religiosity. But yet in this group of people and the life of these people, a people who were building their community around the hosting of the glory of God, there was a rhythm to their approach, a rhythm that was dictated by and revolved entirely around God's presence and the way they existed and approached his manifest presence. And what is even more surprising, you'll never believe this, is that their ritualistic practice doesn't offend God in the slightest. In fact, it's almost like he quite likes it. You're like, no, surely not. But actually, when you read this, he seems to be quite happy coming over and over and over again and inhabiting the space that was surrounded by ritual. We can come to this conclusion because the way that this passage is worded suggests that God keeps manifesting his glory time and time again within the pattern of their ritual. And that's quite interesting for us to even begin to try and get our Pentecostal minds around, but that's what we read. So what is it that's taking place here? Well, the following system is in place. Moses would take a tent and he'd set it up some distance from the camp and he called it the tent of meeting. And this became the place where anyone who wanted to seek God would go. Now that statement is hugely significant. It marks a shift amongst the people and the culture of the people. If you're the kind of person that underlines things in your Bible or like highlights it on your app, then underline the word anyone, because that word highlights and shows a shift. Because while we're reading this passage as a standalone text, we actually have to read this within the overall narrative of Exodus and the overall story of the Israelite people to see how significant this is. Because right up until this moment, it was only Moses who approached the Lord. It was only Moses who was brave enough at times, and it was only Moses who was permitted at other times to enter and approach God's presence. He would go up mountains to inquire of the Lord. The cloud would come down and he'd step into the cloud and receive revelation from the Lord. And the whole time that was going on, the people of Israel existed outside of the habitation at some distance. But now we see a shift, a significant change. Because now the people are existing in the presence of God, and even more than that, they're inquiring of him. This tent of meeting is described as a place where anyone could inquire of the Lord. This structure, a mere tent, but this structure that is for meeting and inquiring shows that now within the life of the people, there is a practice, a place, and an approach for interacting with God. And this suggests then that the people of Israel are beginning to develop a relationship with God. They're beginning to interact with him personally. No longer is everything going through Moses. No longer is their connection and communication with God going through their leader, but now they're beginning to commune with him and they're beginning to communicate with him. Therefore, they're building a relationship with him. The people of Israel, called by God, rescued by God, formed into a nation by God, defined by God, they are now beginning to seek their God. And according to this passage, they now have a place and a space for doing that. Built within the life of their community, created and marked out within their lifestyle approach and their day-to-day lives, was a place and a space for seeking God. Specifically, it's a space and place of inquiry. What does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word carries a couple of meanings. It means to search out specifically in relation to worship and prayer, but it also means by implication to strive after. So when it says the Israelites are inquiring, what it's saying here is that they're beginning to search out and strive after God. They're searching for God as in they're seeking him specifically through worship and prayer. But as well as this, they're striving after him. They're seeking his heart, his mind, his heart, his knowledge, his ways. And as they begin to do that, Moses sets up a place for that. He sets up a space for that, the tent of meeting. And what we read is that God comes and regularly inhabits that space. You see, when you set aside a space and a place for searching out and striving after God, he comes and he inhabits those spaces. And I'm not just talking about a physical locality and an actual spot, although clearly from reading this, God has no issue with that. But what we're talking about here is that when we set aside a space and place in our lives for seeking him and striving after him, he fills such spaces with himself. When we begin to take an approach, a practice, a ritual, a pattern for searching out the space that he inhabits, when we begin to build into our regular practice the pattern of striving after him and seeking to know him, he comes and he inhabits the structures that we put in place and he uses them to reveal himself. Permit me to ask a personal and direct question. What structure do you have? When we put structures in place that are all about seeking after him and striving after him, he fills those structures with himself. So what structures do you have? What patterns do you have? What rituals have you built into your life as your practice for searching out who he is and where he is and striving after him and his ways? Because he doesn't view those approaches as religiosity. He views those patterns is prioritizing him and his presence. This speaks to us as a church as well. When we come together into gathered moments like these, we come together so that as a community of people, we can search out the things of God together, who he is, where he is, what he's doing. And as we come together and we gather around the word of God and the place of worship and prayer and the pursuit of discipleship, we do that because as a community, we are striving after him. We want to walk as he does. We want to know his reality and presence. We want to see communities, villages, towns, city, our friendships, marriages, relationships completely transformed by him. And when we gather with those who are searching out and striving after God, that shared space and place is one that God delights to fill with his presence. Because when we come together out of our routine and out of our regular, And when we come and make our routine and our regular, the making of a pattern and the ritual of joining with those who search him out and strive after him, he sees the prioritizing of his presence. He sees it like a tent of meeting, and he comes and he fills it with himself. If we are a people who hold presence as our priority, then that means that we are a people who build patterns, rituals, approaches into our individual lives that enable us to search him out and strive after the things of God. But it also means that we place a real significance, a real priority. We build into our lives the coming together with those who hold the same priority as us, that shared space and moment can become a place that he loves to inhabit. It's really important that we build into our lives patterns, individually and corporately, that prioritize his presence. And over these next few weeks, as we are sitting in this value and beginning to explore it, we as a church want to introduce some patterns that will help us individually and together as a people to prioritize his presence. That's why over these next few weeks, as we're sitting in this value on Tuesday evenings, we're going to be gathering together on what we call cairn nights. A cairn is a group of stones built together. We want to come as living stones together to host his presence. And we're just going to come on Tuesday evenings, 7:30, and just worship and wait. We have no agenda. Please don't come with an agenda. Please don't come with it, oh, I've got this word and I've got this message and I've got this picture. Because these nights aren't really about that. It's about coming together. We're going to have a worship song, maybe two up our sleeve to start with, and then we're just going to see where he takes us and just learn to wait and learn to host his presence together as a people, to prioritize his presence. But as well as that, while we are spending time in this value, over these next few weeks, Monday to Friday, we want to release some audio devotionals, some devotional podcasts that will be released each day, email, social media, WhatsApp. Each podcast will contain a scripture, a reflection, a worship song. And the idea is just to use these as a tool. You might have your own tools and don't need it. That's absolutely fine. But the idea is just to use these as a tool to create a place and a space each day to just prioritize his presence. Building in these patterns, corporately and individually, to prioritize and spend time with him. It would seem that for Israel, there was this tent of meeting that was their go-to place. It was their structure for the pursuit of God. And what we see is that it's individual and corporate, because individually they go to inquire of him. But then as we continue on in the passage, we see that this space of individual inquiry, the place of personal meeting, also became the space that hosted glory. Again, there's a notable shift in verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, it says, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Now, this is a unique manifestation that's described here. We don't tend to hear much about pillars of cloud standing outside the doors of churches these days. So this is quite a unique manifestation. And this unique manifestation of God is specifically linked to Moses entering the tent of meeting. Whenever Moses entered, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. Now, the language is significant. The divine is in the detail, Sydney. And the pillar of cloud, that which we are told the Israelites followed in their wilderness wanderings, that which they understood to represent God and to be God, this pillar of cloud descended, it came down and it rested at the entrance of the tent. And while this happened inside the tent, God spoke to Moses. Again, there's a shift within the community experience. Already we've been told there's a place and a space where anyone in the nation could go and inquire of the Lord. Now we're told that as the people assembled together, there is this marked shift, there is this movement recorded, a movement that is linked to the presence of God. Therefore, it is a move of God. There is a move of God taking place, and all of Israel are involved in it. All of Israel witness it. All of Israel experience it. This glory is seen, it's experienced by an entire community. And as that happens, here is specifically what is described. A manifestation of God is seen outside the tent, while God's activity is found inside the tent. This is important. Two things are seen: the manifestation of God outside the tent, the ministry of God inside the tent. This is the detail that accompanied the visitation of the divine and the habitation of glory. And the detail is this: two dimensions are explained and revealed, an outer and an inner. Outer, outside, was a visible, tangible, recognizable, and it would seem familiar to them, manifestation of God. Inside was the activity, ministry, and fullness of God. Inside, God spoke to Moses secretly, confidentially, privately, and personally. So God moves. There is a shift moment amongst the community of people, a moment in which, as they assemble together, their space and place becomes inhabited by God. And what accompanies that is an outside manifestation of presence and an inside ministration of God. Here's a question that's worth addressing. Which is greater? And you think, for goodness sake, nobody needs to ask that question. But actually, while it is a no-brainer, we do need to address this, because within modern church culture, sometimes one is placed in our focus, experience, and practice as being greater than the other. According to verse 11, the place of formal inquiry became the place of friendly intimacy. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face inside that tent as one speaks to a friend. That description supports the statement that outside was the manifestation of God, but inside was the fullness of God. Because what is described as happening inside is glory. It's almost like God is standing in that place and in that moment. And his deep activity is found in this moment of intimacy. The outer manifestation accompanied an inner depth. In fact, the outer manifestation was subsumed by an inner intimacy. Something very deep, something very personal, something very transformative was taking place in an inner place that wasn't necessarily seen in the public eye. And this is what is described as happening time and time and time again whenever God swept in amongst them. When God moved, this passage almost sets out not as a one-off. This isn't describing a particular occasion. Rather, what it's describing is a summary statement. It's a description of the movement and the life of God amongst them. And as we look to make presence our priority, we have to recognize the pattern of his presence. God does inhabit gathered moments. Moments when we each assemble and take our place. And when God comes close, God can and does bring manifestations with his presence. And actually, we need to word that properly. Sometimes when God comes close, he can and does bring tangible manifestations. We can't rule out as normative, because it's God that decides the way he behaves, not us. But sometimes tangible, obvious, real signs accompany his presence. Signs that he's near, signs that he's here, signs that he's at work. There can be noticeable evidences that he's doing something and he's working. This can and does happen when God moves amongst a group of people. But there is significance to be seen in the fact that this tangible, recognizable manifestation was at the entrance to the tent. It was at the doorway. Whereas where God was and what God was doing was seen at a deeper level, an inner place. As we open to the presence of God and begin this journey of learning to host him together, as we begin to prioritize his presence, we do recognize that God often presences himself in tangible ways. But the outward should always be a sign of something inward. It is and should be evidence of something significant within, and therefore the focus should be to look beyond the demonstration to the deeper. This is really important. Manifestations are outward, ministration is inward, and the inner is greater than the outer, amen? The inner is greater than the outer. In fact, this is really important as we begin this journey, that we agree on this as a people. Let's agree on this. Spiritual manifestations do not equal spiritual maturity. It's really important. So you can hay and hoe as loud as you want, but if on the other side of the manifestation you're negative and critical, it's nothing. There's no spirit, there's no maturity there. You can shake, rattle, and roll all you like, but if you get off the floor and you're no different. God comes and his presence causes reactions. But spiritual manifestations do not equal spiritual maturity. Let's commit as a people, as we begin this journey, to never become focused on the outward, but to place higher priority on the inward. That's what God does in the deeper level, in the inner place that carries the greatest significance. And as we begin this journey, and I don't mean anything critical by this at all, but as we begin this journey and move into what is next, I think God is calling us to learn to host him differently. Let's not camp at the door of the tent. Let's instead pursue friendship inside the tent. Let's not camp at the tent, and let's not either become people that's like, unless there's manifestations, God's not here, because that's focusing on the outward and not the inward. Let's not camp at the door. Let's pursue friendship deep inside the tent. The inner is greater than the outer. The people of Israel, they understood this. As they gathered and assembled to host his presence, they understood what the pillar of cloud at the door of the tent meant. They knew that while something amazing was going on outside, there was something even greater happening inside. This knowledge shaped their behavior. If you remember, it was after these moments that Moses would come out and he'd have to put the veil over his face because the glory was so great and they couldn't look at him in the face. They knew that while something outside was amazing, they knew even greater was happening inside. And their knowledge shaped their behavior. Whilst Moses encountered God powerfully inside the tent, the whole community was involved in hosting what God was doing. It says in verse 10, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped each at the entrance to their own tent. The first thing that we see here is that whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud, whenever they saw it, they could see it. The people learned to recognize the presence of presence. They learned to recognize the arrival of God amongst them. This community that hosted the glory of God were those who took presence as a priority, so much so that they learned to recognize the presence of God and they allowed such recognition to direct their function. If we're to take presence as a priority, then we must learn to recognize the presence of God. And we must allow such recognition to direct our function, our stance, and our posture. It says, whenever God swept in, whenever, which made it sound like this was more than once. But it also suggests to us that there wasn't a set time. It doesn't say every Sunday, doesn't say every third Tuesday, doesn't say in high days and holy days. It just says whenever. Each time that they recognized the presence of God amongst them, they responded, they reacted, they allowed the recognition of his presence to be reflected in their actions and their behaviors. They adopted this posture of worship. Every time, time and time again, whenever God came close, they worshiped. And their worship was a stewarding of his presence. It was in response to his presence. It was their hosting of his presence. And this moment is recorded not as a specific moment, but as a regular occurrence, a description of everyday life, their shared behavior as a people. Whenever Moses went into the tent and the glory came down, their focus, their priority was to host him with their worship. And the text almost suggests to us, the way it's worded, as though they just stopped what they were doing. Their chores, their routine, their regular, their work. As soon as the cloud came, they stopped and their focus became to host him. And if that's the case, then truly we can see in their shared behavior a core value. Presence was their priority. the extent that they prioritized his presence over everything. We must learn to recognize the presence of presence. Though presence is a priority, means that our community, as a community of people, we allow the recognition of his presence, the movement of God, the moments that he fills our shared spaces and places with himself, we allow such moments to become moments where we turn our everything over to welcoming him, worshiping him, honoring him, stewarding him. What does that look like? How do we do that? Well, look at how they hosted them. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their own tent. God comes to the place of meeting. He inhabits that space of inquiry. And it says that as God's presence is found at the door of his tent, each of the people stand at the door of their tent and worship. This suggests a number of things. The first, it reminds us of the passage that we focused on last week. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The position of each person standing at the door of their tent is significant. The pillar arriving at the door is a sign of what's taking place inside. The visible demonstration, manifestation, sign of presence standing at the door shows that inside God is meeting with Moses. It's an outward demonstration of an inward experience. And the people standing at the door of their own tent in response and worshiping is an outward sign of an inward decision. They stand at the doors of their tents as a sign of me and my household, me and everyone that calls my house their home. Who I am, what I have, everything that is me, everything within my tent is given to the hosting of the presence of the God who stands amongst us. The outward points to the inward. The outer demonstration of worship is a reflection of the inward decision to worship. Worship is both a stance and a posture. It is both an expression and a lifestyle. Worship that hosts his presence is when we engage all that we are and all that we have in the worship of him. It is not just singing. It's everything. The whole worship, or to hold presence as a priority, is to take the position, me and my house, who I am, what I have, what I do, all that I've got is given over to worship him. And therefore, the priority of my life and of my worship is him. This is a really important theme for us to adopt. What happens outside is a reflection of what happens inside. When it comes to worship, it's not about volume equaling anointing. It's not about exuberance reflecting passion, as in you've got to be more exuberant to show that you are really passionate about God. But what it is about is about allowing the presence of God and his reality amongst us to shape the posture that we adopt and the stance that we take. When we recognize his presence, and please notice that we say recognize and not feel. Because there's times when for various reasons we don't always feel the presence of God. But it is possible to gather amongst God's people, and even though we don't feel it, we can recognize that God is present and that God is at work. So when we recognize the presence of presence, we must allow that recognition to shape our function. We respond even in the times that we don't feel it. We take the inner desire to honor him, to host him, to welcome him, and we allow it to shape the outward posture of worship. How do we do that? Well, I find it fascinating that the people stood at the entrance to their tent as God stood at the entrance to his. We see then is that the people hosted God by embodying him in their worship. God stood at the entrance to his tent, so it seemed right that they stood at the entrance to theirs. They reflected what they seen him doing in their worship. To hold presence as a priority is to search out where he is. It's to search out what he's doing. It's to strive after his ways and begin to reflect that with our being. As a church, when we hold presence as a priority, we have to allow him to shape our activity. And that means to let go of what we think should be happening, as in our opinions, our preferences, our desired outcomes. And say, actually, as a church and as a people, we give our everything to reflecting what he is doing. Do we recognize this in our heritage here? There was a season when God was moving in renewal across his global church in the 90s and a tiny part of the 2000s. He was moving in renewal across his global church, and Glasgow Elam held presence as their priority. And as a church, you adapted, you surrendered, you gave your everything over to reflecting what he was doing. And as such, you not only prioritized his presence, but you hosted his presence. But see now, in our time and generation, we've got to look and see, okay, well, what is he doing now? That could be, what is he doing as he moves amongst us in our gathering this week? Or equally, it could be, what is he doing in this season, in this time, and in this space? And how can we embody that? How can we reflect that? How can we adapt and adopt what we see his presence doing? Because that is how we place presence as our priority. God stood at the entrance to his tent, and the people stood at the entrance to theirs. Let's make sure that where we stand is where he's standing also. Because otherwise, we stand as monuments that point to what was, rather than being a movement that moves with what he is doing. We're not called to be monuments, we're called to be movements. Amen? So we've got to make sure that where we're standing is where he's standing also. Otherwise, we end up standing representing that which is in his shadow and not in his reality. Each person stood at the entrance to their tent. And it's significant that each person stood at the entrance to their own tent. They were standing at the door to their own tent. They stood in their space and place, and with all that they had, they represented all that they had as they stood at the door. And as they stood at the in their space and their place, they didn't stand alone. They stood together with every other person in their clan, in their tribe, and in their nation. This whole nation adopted this individual stance together. The corporate overall expression, the expression of the nation, was made up of individual stances. Every person was part of the whole. No one stood separate. No one was left out. No one was better. No one was not good enough. No one was not needed. No one was not required. Their corporate expression was made up of each one holding their stance and adopting their posture in their space and in their place. Together they embodied worship. Together they hosted him. Together they honored him. But individually they expressed it. All at the same time, they took their stance. They all stood at the entrance to their tent. All at the same time, they vocalized and embodied the same expression because they all worshipped. If you were to walk through the camp of Israel when the glory of God came down, you would find the same thing wherever you went. Yes, it would look different and sound different. It would look and sound as different as each person and family looked and sounded different. But it was the same because every person focused on worship. Every person prioritized presence. When it comes to holding presence as our priority, the shared value is only our characteristic spirit and attitude when it's embodied by all of us. It takes root within a community's personality and is outworked in our shared behavior when it is just that, when it is shared by all of us. The overall expression of Glasgow Elam Church is not made up of leaders. It's not made up of worship teams. It's made up of each of us taking our individual stances and our unique adopted postures. Together, we host him as one. Each taking our stance, each assuming our posture of worship, is what creates the space and the place that he loves to fill with his presence. Each person will look and sound different. As our characters, personalities, modes of expressions are different. But what makes us one, what creates the corporate expression that constructs our throne, that the King of Glory comes down and sits upon, is when we hold the same focus as a people and as a church, the same priority, which is his presence amongst us. If you were to walk through the camp of Israel whenever the glory came down, you'd find a people gripped and seized by his presence. A people committed to hosting him together, so committed, in fact, that everyone played their part and everyone took their place to honor the glory of the one who stood in their midst. However, if you walk through the camp of Israel when the glory of God came down, you would find that glory had a sight and glory had a sound. Oh, Glasgow Yeom, that we would be a people that hold presence as a priority to the extent that it shapes what you see and hear when you enter the gathered space that is Glasgow Yeom Church. Oh, that we give our everything to embodying the presence of God, that we worship to such an extent that the sight and sound of his glory is found amongst our camp. And for this to be the case, we must agree together that the presence of God is our everything and work together to prioritize his presence as a people. Here's my final point. The wording of the text suggests that as long as the presence of God stood at the entrance, the people stood and worshipped. That would equally suggest then that when Moses returned from the tent of meeting and the pillar lifted, that would suggest that the people then just stopped their worship and went back to what they were doing. This is important because the Bible doesn't say that the pillar was always at the entrance. It just says that whenever it was, it shaped their function and it seized their attention. Now, this thought might seem outrageous, but could holding presence as our priority mean a change in function? If this is the DNA of Glasgow Yeom, if this is the shape that God has called us to have, given to us, breathed into us, if we're all about embracing the skin and becoming comfortable in the skin that God's given us, does that mean that we need to shed the skin that's not in line with his ethos? Are we willing to break the mold? And what I mean by that is that we have a pretty clear shape to our gathered moments. There's a structure in place, and that's not wrong. This structure is shaped by what we recognize the scripture calls us to hold as the purpose and the function of the church. We worship, we gather around the word, we fellowship, we pray, we care for one another, we do life together. But let's be clear, there is no prescribed format for church in the Bible, but there is a prescribed function. And what happens is that when we routinely come together and explore that function, over time we begin to slip into format. And that format often is the outworking of preference. You attend a church because that church's format fits your preference. Here's a thought. What if the value of presence as our priority meant prioritizing his presence and not our preference? What if it means allowing the presence of God to come amongst us and shape the way that we host him, the way that we assemble, the longevity, short or long, the approach, the direction, the function? See, as long as the cloud stood at the entrance to God's tent, the people stood at the entrance of theirs, his presence shaped them and what they did. What if saying that the presence of God is our everything means allowing his presence to dictate and shape everything? Could that mean that the preferred format and approach to function changes? What if embodying what he's doing looks like spending the morning interceding? We come into the house and we find that God is in the place of intercession, so we spend the whole morning interceding. Ah, but we didn't come to the word. Ah, but we didn't break bread together. But what if that's where he's at? What if it looked like worshiping upon a particular dynamic of his character and his identity? for the whole morning? What if it looked like just waiting? What if it looked like being really radical? What if it looked like God said to us, I want you to get out of your rows and as an entire community, go and serve your local community? Here's the point. To say the presence of God is our everything is to allow the presence of God to shape everything. These people were shaped by the presence of God. We've got to be shaped by His presence. This is why aligning with these values is so important, because it's about shaping us. It's about coming into the shape that we're meant to have, but it's coming into the shape that God has given us. Recognizing these values is about alignment. It's about letting the characteristic spirit and attitude of our church come to life in our behavior and in our shared approach. It's about searching Him out and striving after Him. And in order to do so, it involves us praying a really dangerous prayer. A prayer that is about prioritizing His presence and asking Him to shape our everything. If you're pleased with us, teach us your ways, so that we may know you and continue to find favor with you. And we pray this because our whole heart is to hear Him respond, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest."